Hallelujah. How many believes that? There's power to break every chain. Amen, amen. Blessed be his name. Thank you, musicians. Nice to be back together again. You can take your seat for just a moment. Got a couple of things we want to do before we get into the word tonight. First thing is I'd like our brother Valencia to come up. He has some news to share with us, and I just think it's best to get things from the source, and so I asked him if he'd come and just share a few words with us tonight, and well, I won't comment any further. I'll let our brother speak here.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, saints. Awesome. Some exciting news for our family and also a testimony as well. So the Lord has impressed in our heart and confirmed and that it is a true word of the Lord and calling for us to move to the state of Georgia. And that same word that in the same experience that I've had and the Lord has proven to be so is the exact same that brought me here 11 years ago. And I'm forever thankful for you all, for God, for this ministry, for the Baker, for Pastor Baker. So I just want to testify that in the 11 years that I have been here in this ministry, I came from, traded my filthy rags and God gave me his righteousness. There's three brothers here that were here at church at the other, at Farwell, when God had burned me and filled me with this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we have Brother Henry here, Brother Baker as well, Brother, and then Brother Augustine. And I think we were all in the fire. And I think there was a fourth one with us four as well. And it was a very clear experience that the Lord gave me. You know, I've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and received that baptism of the Holy Spirit as he promised it. And he made this word that is within the pages of the Bible made alive to me, this message that came to us, precious message. So I just want to be very thankful for that. And the Lord allowed me to marry after that. Young boys, take notes. and then we have a 9-year-old daughter, my firstborn. And then we have our son, Jeremiah, who's 4 years old. And we're hoping to have one more, if the Lord wills. So just keep us in prayer. You know, it is a very clear thing for us. You know, we don't take it lightly, right, to move the whole family across the states. But it is exactly the same experience I've had when the Lord led me here. And I've been very thankful, very grateful for you all, for God, all that he's done in this ministry. So please pray for us. It's bittersweet, right, because we don't understand everything, but all we know is we're trusting in the Lord, and we love you all. We have both our families here, so we definitely hope to be able to come back and visit for sure from time to time. And it'll be our first time being away from parents, so we're kind of like mama boy, papa boy, mama girl, and I'm a mama boy, I guess. And so, yeah, I pray for my family. I also will be announcing it to them in the right timing as well. And so pray for Sister Emma. Pray for us all and for our Sister Emma Senior and us all, right? So God bless you all. It's just a wonderful thing to serve alongside and to join in. It's going to be a transition, you know, as we get ready to move. So please don't kick us out yet. And so we love you all. God bless you. And thank you very, very much, Pastor Baker. Thank you.
Kick you out. If anything, we'll trap you. We sure do love our brother and sister, and we really appreciate all that they've done for the body. Our brother translating into Spanish for us over the years, and it's quite a lot of effort and diligence and dedication. And I know that so many of you have been blessed as he's translated, and then our sister Emma teaching our children in Sunday school. I mean, I can't think of a better gift that she could give to our children, the gift of passing on to them Christ. And then, of course, she was our bookkeeper for a good while, and we certainly do appreciate that, and many, many other things. So them, out of his own mouth, they've never moved away from home, and so I told him, well, you know, you need to announce this soon so that nobody's surprised and everybody has a chance to shake your hand, hug you, so that nobody's saying, well, I wish I would have this or that, right? And I've asked them a few times when their move is, and they don't know, but it'll be soon, they said. So it'll be sooner than they think. And so I want to invite each and every one of you to just give them a warm greetings and hug, and just tell them how much you appreciate and love them. And of course, we will be looking for them to come back and as they visit family and what have you. We're family too, so. And we want God's very best for them, and are certainly praying for that, and expecting that as well. So, better tell your mom and dad here soon. You know, you said in the right time. The right time's now. Yeah, bad news doesn't get better with time. Amen. Let's stand this evening. I actually. I'm going to do something else that's a little bit odd because I'm going to. Sunday was a wonderful day, just all the way around. We just, the Lord really moved in many different ways throughout the day, and then particularly in the evening service. And as always is the case, the Lord will be doing something and the devil will be doing something. In the very same service, right? And some will leave just, you know, God did this and that for me, and others will leave, well, I didn't get anything out of it. And it's just how it is, you know. The angel of the Lord will pass through the camp, and those that are in expectation, those that are prepared and expecting, they get what they receive. If you aren't prayed up, sometimes what happens is the devil will find a burr to stick under your saddle and cause you to have a bad day so that you'll miss your visitation, right? Very same meeting, very same God, but unfortunately the very same devil. So part of this is just, because we all have to learn, part of this is that I want to share is to encourage everybody, and I believe that it will encourage everybody, but it's also instructive. So that, you know, I thank God that there's many opportunities for redos. I thank God that, you know, He's the God of second, third, fourth, fifth chances. In other words, we can learn from something and, you know, it's not over for us. We learn from it and then we're ready for it next time around. And, you know, many of us might think of ourselves as slow learners. And God is long-suffering, and He wants you to get whatever you're supposed to get, right? So He'll come around time and time again. So, but we don't want to go too far the other way and be aloof with that. We want to, when we know that we have the opportunity, we want to take advantage of it, right? Don't want to put things off. Let me just read my text for tonight, and then I've got a recording that I want to share with you that I got from somebody after the service on Sunday night, which I've already cleared it with that person. So, Luke 17, verse 26. And it's nice to have you with us, Mike. In the room when we were praying with the musicians, and someone spoke out and said, aren't you going to introduce us to... Yeah. I said, well, I thought it, but I held it back. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage Until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. So in that message there, Jesus is telling us that in the days of Noah, to the world, everything was normal. Everything was going on as it always had, and there was no concern, there was no worry, and yet a message had went out for 120 years. God's going to destroy the earth, and here's your refuge. Get in the ark, and clear up to the day that the flood came. Everything was as normal. Of course, after the floodwaters came, everybody was a believer at that time, but the time to believe is before judgment. It's while there's still mercy, right? And you can't say that God didn't give him a chance. He gave him 120 years. That's quite an opportunity. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built it, right? City's about to be destroyed by fire. God sends two messengers down to bring them a message of deliverance, and some believe and they get out, and others disbelieve and actually fight against it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, so the same day that those that were in Sodom received and believed their message and acted on it, the very same day it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. May the Lord add his blessing, the reading of the word. We'll just bow our heads for a moment. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather once again. Lord, we know that there'll come a time when we'll gather for the last time. We don't know when that is. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. It could be 20 years from now. But Lord, we just want to redeem the time. We want to be faithful because we know that you're faithful, and we know that you have a plan, and that everything matters, that nothing is just random, or pages of the calendar are not just being turned one after another, but there are things taking place every single day in your great plan, and in the great prophetic wheels are turning, and with each turn, with each click, with each tick, each turn of the cogs, we're closer and closer to that great day that is the hope of all the ages, the coming of the Lord. So, Lord, we just ask that your blessings be upon each and every one, that you bless your word tonight, bless our hearts, Lord, bless our ears. May you anoint our ears to hear tonight, Lord. And, Father, we surely will give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So bear with me for a moment because I wasn't able to pass this recording off from my phone, so I'm going to just try and play it directly off the phone. And
good evening, Brother Baker. Didn't mean to interrupt earlier when opened the door and you had somebody in the office there with you, and Sister Baker. I apologize for that. In one sense, I'm glad that there was somebody in there because with what I want to share with you, I probably would have fallen apart and been crying like a baby. But what little bit of time has passed a little bit, so I've kind of got my composure back a little bit here. But
I'm wondering if the handheld might work better because even at the level that you have it, I can hear the feedback wanting to get away from us. So maybe we'll just try that.
Sorry. I'll turn mine off. Thank you.
I just wanted to share that, you know, when God when God shares something with you, when he opens your eyes to something,
I'm going to set the mic down.
Reveals himself to you in certain phases and opens up certain things to you and lets you to see certain things. It's just there's no words for it. It's almost overwhelming, and just want to be so grateful and appreciate and everything that you were talking about. But, you know, towards the end of the service, when you're talking, one of the things, as you're talking and I'm listening to what you're saying, in my mind, I was thinking back to one time when I was here at the house, and I was praying and just crying out and just wondering, you know, and I think I've mentioned it before, you know, why would God love me? And then my other thoughts at that time were, you know, why do I love the Lord the way I do? Why is it that I love the Lord the way I do? Is it something that I did in my, you know, when I was younger? Was it just something good that I did, or something that I did towards somebody else? Or what at that moment, why was I realizing that I loved the Lord the way I did? And he, at that time, and then when I was thinking about what you were preaching earlier, he reminded me that the only reason I could love him is because he first loved me. And I remember at that time, it was a few years back.
So he's recognizing that it's nothing that he did, right? We love him because he first loved us, right?
When he opened that up to me, I remember cried like a baby. And so that's what I was thinking about when you were preaching. And oh my goodness, this is why I'm glad that there was somebody in the office with you, because I knew this was going to happen to me. When you were preaching and you were talking about the white stone and the white rock, and how, my, for years, I mean, I've heard Brother Branham preaching, I've heard you preaching it, talking about it, you know, saying things the way you bring it out, and in the way Brother Baker does, you know, your way of bringing things out. And hearing it for all these years, and like I said, hearing it in the message, and just, we make things complicated, you know, but at the same time, it's complicated only because it's not ready for us to know it yet. It's not ready for us to, for it to be revealed to us yet. Sorry. It's taking me a second here. But when you were talking about that, it hit. They just opened. I just saw this big old white flash. It's like you say, you know, it's not so much that you see Henry Hoyer or Enrique or Enrico or whatever name we have here on this earth. He just brings it open to you. He just opens it up to you and just lets you see it. And that, I could not contain myself. It shook me to the core, because here I thought, you know, oh yeah, I can understand. I see what you're talking about. It's like you say, you know, you can speak for yourself, and we each have to see it for our own self. Our young people have to see it for their own selves. We can talk about it and share with them, but each one has to experience it themselves. And you know, maybe I'm just maybe I'm slow or whatever. It doesn't matter. If I'm slow, that's how I am, I guess. God made me the way I am. It's just one of those things that You know, it's there sitting on a shelf, so to speak, and you just pull it in and it opens up and you just put it in and it's only He can show it to you.
Right.
There's no way. You can break open the top of the pyramid, you can look in there and whatever, and you're gonna just see light, you're gonna see white, you're gonna see whatever. Until you see what you see and you know what you see, and there's nothing that can take that away from you, and you see what you see, there's no way to comprehend it, there's no way to understand it, there's no way to express it. There's no way to explain it. There's no way to. The only way anybody can understand it is if somebody else has gone through that.
Yeah.
And the last thing that I want is to not want that for other people. Right. I pray our young people will see it. You know, and if those that have seen it, they know who they are. They recognize it. They've seen themselves in it. It's been shown to them, which only God can do, and open it up. I'm grateful to God for that. But those that are still waiting, tarrying for that moment, just there's no words. It's just amazing. Anyways, all that to say that I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you for the way God made you to bring things to us and for caring for us, for being patient with us. And just, there's no words, but I just appreciate you, brother. And you are an awesome pastor. I appreciate the Lord being in your life and you being here in Tucson for us, and the Lord bringing you to us here in Tucson. I appreciate the Lord opening up a job for you there and here in Tucson when you came, and just knowing you all these years from the beginning, and never judged, never look at us wrong or whatever. You know, you're just an awesome pastor. I appreciate you, we have to have a pastor for the word to come be brought to us. We can't just do these things on our own. There's certain things God will share with us, like, you know, why do I love the Lord? And the Lord says, you know, because I first loved you. But when it comes to other things, a little bit richer, a little bit deeper, a little bit better understanding, we need a pastor, we need a person, we need a human being. That's how God works for us. You know, it's God can do anything He wants, but He puts people in front of us, in our paths, in our lives to help us along the way, and maybe I don't say how much I appreciate you enough, but I do, Brother Baker. You are awesome, and I appreciate that, and your life that you live, and the example that you live, and help us to see. I'm glad you preach the way you do. Like you said, you know, you got to make, sometimes you say things personal about yourself, because that's, you got to share what you know. You can be encouraging, but a person has to get that revelation for themselves, and that did it. Tonight was just an amazing, amazing evening. This morning was awesome. I wasn't there, but I was screaming it. But this evening just really, really, it just flew open. And like I said, it was just a flash of light that I saw within me, I guess, within my brain, I don't know. And I just saw it. There's, you know, like you said, we beat ourselves up, and we let the devil beat us up, help beat ourselves up. or whatever, but when we let go and just let God, and then God says, okay, here we go. When he does it, it's just amazing. I don't know. I'm out of words. I don't know what else to say, Brother Baker, but thank you, thank you, thank you. This evening was something else. And they just, like I said, maybe I'm a slow learner or whatever, and maybe we have to hear it so many times, but now I see that. I see that part of it about the white rock and being revealed as to who we are. And there's nothing else can take it away from us. Nobody can take it away. No human can take it away. Right. If God gave it, then that's it. There's right. And the devil has fought me hard on it, I guess, but you know, it's worth it because I know now that that's another part of scripture that he cannot take away from me.
Right.
Anyways, I talked too much, Brother Baker, and I apologize. That's why I said I'm glad somebody was in the office earlier, because I do not think I would have been able to contain myself, but it was just exciting, and I just wanted to share that with you. So thank you, and God bless you, brother, and have a good rest. If you don't listen to this until tomorrow, I don't blame you, because you were really preaching tonight, and I'm sure you're tired, but when you do hear this, well, there was one person that it struck to. I hope it did. I hope it struck to others, and I know it will strike to others with time when God sees that he's ready for different people to receive it, that each one of us have to go through it. And I don't know. Maybe I'm just rattling on, but it's exciting. It's awesome, and it's just very humbling, very, very humbling, but exciting at the same time. Anyways, thank you, Brother Baker. God bless you, and we'll talk soon, and we'll see you, Lord willing, on Wednesday evening. God.
If you bear with me for just a couple more minutes. So I did go through a number of messages on Monday and preached a couple of little sermonettes, and then I heard this. And my response was, you are not slow. There's nothing you could do to receive that revelation sooner. It is spiritual food in due season, which is in God's time. And it's very, very personal, and it came from God to you. It should cause us to love him more and trust him more, because it can only come from him. And he's proving to you that he will make sure you get all you need from him and will be left behind in nothing. You know, the proof that God's done something is that your heart's filled with love. Everybody looks good, and it's just that honey's just flowing out the next morning even. It's natural to beat on ourselves for not seeing something sooner. But think about that for a moment. How could you see it sooner? That would put it in your hands and place it upon your abilities if that were the case. It's all him. And as we said last night, it must be all him. And when he shows things to us personally, only then can we see it and know it. You are walking with the Lord, and nothing can take that from you. I heard your message this morning. It thrilled my heart to the core. God vindicated his word through you last night. The hearer is just as important and needed as the vessel he speaks through. He anoints them both so that he can manifest himself among us. As we said last night, that is what he wants to do, that is what he is doing, and that is what he will do. And I'll just skip down. And this is the reply, but it's worth listening to.
Thank you, Brother Baker, for those awesome words. I so much appreciate that everything that you said. And it's true. It's the truth, brother. I mean, everything has to be through him, by him, for him, as you said. And all we can do is yield ourselves and just wait on him. And when he's ready, when he knows that we're ready, then he does what he's going to do. I appreciate that it takes everything. Oh my, everything takes on a whole new meaning. Just, you know, everything from in my father's house are many mansions, if it were not so. That takes on a whole new meaning because I see it in a different way now. And instead of in a way, a mental way, it means more. Also, you know, we were with him in the beginning. It means that much more. Those words, the songs, a lot of the songs that we sing, just meditating on them throughout the day, it just takes on a whole new meaning. It takes on a more personal meaning. It's not just singing a song that, you know, you're singing a song and trying to grasp for something, but just singing a song now and humming a song and thinking about the words to it, it's personal now. Now it's not so much, not so much questioning it, but trying to grab hold of it and make it personal. When it's personal and it comes in personal, it's done by God. It's done correctly. There's, like you said, there's nothing can take it from you. That assurance that you know that you know. I mean, it just, last night was incredible. I had a hard time sleeping, and not in a bad way, of course, just thinking, meditating, and all these songs were coming to mind, you know, and just meant that much more. And so thank you, Brother Baker, for your kind words. I do appreciate your response back to me. I really do. I thank you so much. And anything that helps our, anything that could help any of our young children, our young kids, or those that are...
Something happens to you, you want it to happen to other people, right? That's how this spreads, right? That's one of the reasons why we're playing it. You overcome by the word of your testimony. Each one of us will have a testimony. There's no better way to spread the word than to have an experience and share it. That's living word.
On the borderline or whatever, I mean, anything that would be of help. There's nothing I could say or anything. I mean, it's the truth. And only God is the only one who can place it there. And if it helps somebody, that's fine. It won't do anything to make me feel embarrassed or anything.
So that's him telling me, yes, it's okay to share. Amen.
So we'll pass the offering plate for Brother Henry's message here tonight and call it a night. What do you say? I'm just thankful that I was busy in the office, because this way I got it I got it recorded, and I guarantee you it would have come out different if you had to stand before all of you and see people flinching and looking at their watches and the things that we do as human beings, and if you're not used to. So this is just coming from the heart, and I'm going to treasure this myself. So, you know, when God does something to you, you want to testify, right? And we should testify, because we're serving the living God. We had a meeting with the ministers yesterday, and I was discussing some things with him, and you know, what we have is so rich. What we have is so much, and if I said to the brothers, if we were to be transported back to Luther's day or Wesley's day, we'd have millions of followers, millions, because we've got more than you know, justified by faith and not of works. That was essential, but and look at the revival that that caused. But we're living in the age where it'll be the smallest group, and it's not the smallest group because the word has lost its power, because the preachers can't preach. It's because as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Sodom, right? There is an ordained number of people to come forth in this age, and it's the smallest number. So as I was saying to the brothers, we're going to preach it as if everybody is going to come, right? Because we don't know who will and who won't, right? And if it is truly as it was in the days of Noah or the days of Sodom, you'll preach for long periods of time before somebody will come necessarily, right? But that has nothing to do with the authenticity of what you're preaching. In the Word is power, right? And it will do what it's supposed to do when the right seed comes in contact with it. It'll do it, and it'll be in God's time too, right? Amen, amen. So I will cut the rest of the service short tonight intentionally because I don't want to wear you out. But are you glad to hear that?
Amen. Yeah.
Now, here's the teachable moment part. I was battling with spirits really strongly on Sunday evening. Just, you know, there are times when it just comes right back at me, you know. And sometimes it's even challenging. It's coming right back at me like, you know, you're not going to stop this. And so you notice that I finally stopped and I cast spirits out of here, remember? And I told you, those spirits will leave. And we did that, and they did leave. And I said, if you want to be free of them, you'll stay free of it. But if I cast it out and you don't want to be free of it, it'll come back with a vengeance. Well, it did on some after the service. Came back with a vengeance, right? Sit through something like that. The Holy Spirit just dealing so personally and so real, doing just exactly what he said he would do. And in the same service, devils. And friends, you got to recognize that. You got to recognize the devil is probably the most faithful church attender that there is, right? And his demons come to every service. So you have to fight your way through those things, just as I have to fight through it. The song leaders, they have to fight through it. The deacons have to fight through it, you know, the devil try to come at them in different ways at the door. You got to fight through it in the car sometimes on the way to church. Well, I got to fight through it when I'm preaching the word. And I have to ask Sister Baker, did you get anything out of that? Oh, yeah, it was great service. It was wonderful. I just, you know, and I have to ask her that because from where I'm standing, it just seems like all I'm doing is slugging, you know. And a song leader will feel that way sometimes too, you know. It's a battle, right? But the victory's ours. But we got to fight. Amen. How many are willing to fight tonight? Amen. So I'm going to skip over a bunch that I was going to kind of go back over a few things once again, but I'm going to skip over a bunch of things so that we don't keep you too long here tonight. Speaking about the days of Sodom, right? Speaking about the revealing of the Son of Man. So, as we saw last time, there were two anointings that visited Sodom. There was the Lord himself that had come and visited with the Abraham group, if you will. There was three groups. You know, there's the elect group, the true believer, there's the make-believer, there's the unbeliever. The believers were Abraham, Sarah, and those that were with Abraham and Sarah. The make-believers was Lot and his family, and the unbelievers was everybody else in Sodom. And there were two anointings that visited Sodom while the Lord himself was visiting with Abraham. Those that rejected the message of Lot, they were judged when they rejected the gospel that was preached to them. And judgment came, and we know that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by fire. We know that that's what's in store after the coming of the Lord. We know that there's judgment that's going to come upon the earth. We know there's a tribulation period of 3.5 years, but we also know this earth is going to get a baptism of fire. And those that are here will be destroyed in that, right? But there's grace and mercy being extended even right this moment. But what's everybody doing as it was in the days of Sodom? Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, right? Clear up to the time that the fire fell. So we saw that Abraham's group received their last sign before Sodom was destroyed. And that last sign was the word becoming flesh and discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And we saw that Ezekiel was called Son of Man in the book of Ezekiel 93 times. And the term Son of Man is used in the book of Daniel also. We looked at this, Daniel chapter 8, verse 17. So we came nearer to where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O Son of Man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. So God refers to Daniel as Son of Man, or Son of Dust. And he says, Daniel, you're a portion of the dust from the earth that I'm going to speak through. I've made man with the ability to speak so that I can speak my word through man. And I made you in particular in such a way that when you surrender yourself to me, I can show you my word through you seeing visions. And when you surrender yourself to me, I can speak my word through your lips. And it's deity speaking through your lips, right? So a son of man is a prophet, simply put. And a prophet is made different than the rest of us. We can't make ourselves prophets. You're born a prophet. Nobody can choose to be a prophet. You come out of your mother's womb as a prophet. And whether or not you repent, you are a prophet. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. Daniel says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So what Daniel was seeing was the coming of the second coming of the Lord, not the first coming. He was seeing the coming of the Lord after the wedding supper and the Lord coming to the earth. And the term one like the Son of Man is used because the Son of Man, when he was here on the earth, he was in a flesh body just like you and I, right? The body that he's in now is a different body, right? So it's one like the Son of Man. It's the same Christ, but he's in a different body. So this is referring to when God himself would come and tabernacle completely in flesh, not just anoint or speak through flesh, but completely in flesh. So Daniel sees this. He writes the vision when God would come again and take on dust. And Jesus referred to himself at least 82 times that we have recorded in the Gospels as Son of Man. You know, who knows how many times he referred to himself that's not recorded, but that's just what's recorded, right? And simply what that means is that God had taken on earth as a man. He'd taken on the flesh of a man, but not just the flesh of a man, but there's a soul there, right? And prophets were called Son of Man, and they had great access to God, of course. David, in reflecting the King of Glory, he refers to himself as the Lord's anointing or the Lord's Christ. God speaking in unto Ezekiel, he said, "Son of dust, speak unto man. I have a message for him." And in Hebrew, son of man would be Ben Adam, or son of the earth, or son of dust. So the Lord is saying to him, Ben Adam, prophesy. Remember, that's what Adam would have done, right? He would have prophesied, and the names that were on the book would have come forth. He did prophesy when he named all the animals in the kingdom. I mean, it wasn't random, and God didn't leave it up to just, he prophesied. So Son of Man identifies the prophetic office where when God would speak through a man. In the office of Son of God throughout the church ages, he was not speaking out of man in his fullness, but was the voice that spoke within man to teach him whatever he had heard. And certainly we know that the voice of God has sounded forth throughout the ages, but not as the attribute of the fullness of God, and which was also vindicated by the Messiah sign. So if he appears as Son of Man, there has to be the sign of the Messiah to vindicate that, right? It has to be backed up and vindicated by, I mean, he's the Word, right? It's the Word becoming flesh, and the Word is sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Only the Word can discern, right? And I'm so thankful for that, because in my ignorance, for many years, in my Christian walk, in my ignorance, I didn't know if the devil could read my thoughts or not. I didn't know if he knew what I was thinking. I didn't know if he knew the battles that were going on in my mind. I knew God could, but I wasn't sure if the devil could. And I was so grateful the first day and hearing from the message that the devil doesn't know your thoughts. He's not the Word. He can't discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, right? What he can do is he can present thoughts to you and wait and see what you do with it, right? And when he sees you react and in the way that he's hoping, then he'd say, aha, and then he'll continue to attack you that way, right? But he doesn't know. He doesn't know your thoughts. And so if we're going to do something, many times the best thing for us to do is keep our mouth shut, because as soon as you open your mouth, the devil knows what you're going to do. But if you keep it to yourself, he doesn't know. Isn't that wonderful? So he revealed himself as Son of God throughout the church ages, right? And God is a spirit. So Son of God implies that he would come in the form of spirit, right? If God is a spirit, then he would come as Son of God. He would come in the form of spirit, which he did as the Holy Spirit, moving in a body throughout the seven church ages. But when he comes as Son of Man, he's coming to reveal his word, and he will also vindicate it by doing the sign of the Messiah. So we know that there's a people on the face of the earth that are to be the final voice in the final age. That's what we're taught in this message, right? And it is what it is the Son of Man speaking through his bride body in his bride coming to the earth before the destruction of the world system. So it is Christ himself in the fullness in a many-membered body bringing his word through that body. And one of the ways that he does that is when they prophesy again, which we'll get to in just a moment. So he reveals his word to them, and then they say the same thing that he already said with revelation in due season. So it's not just the Spirit anointing the church, but it is actually the head of the body speaking through the church and manifesting itself in the church in flesh. But it's just not one body, but it's a many-membered body. So God did not come down into the soul of Abraham, because he couldn't come down into the soul of Abraham because there was sin in his heart, right? And that sin was covered by the blood of the sacrificial animals. That sin was covered so that God could look upon man and talk with man and fellowship with man. But God couldn't come down into the core of man because that soul was sinful, and God's not going to inhabit a sinful soul. Are you with me? So he didn't come into the soul of Abraham, but he anointed him just as he did the other prophets. But he hadn't paid the price of redemption yet, so he could not come down into the soul of Abraham as son of man, if you will. God would not dwell in dust with the sin nature that had not yet been redeemed. So Abraham couldn't be the fullness of the type of Christ because man still had that sin nature. So God came and took dust and formed a body. It was a man. And God spoke through that body to Abraham. Are you with me? Because he couldn't speak. If he had already shed the blood and Abraham was under the shed blood, he could have spoke through Abraham like he did here in the end time. Wink, wink, nod, nod. He couldn't do it then because Abraham still had a sin nature that had to be dealt with, right? So God instead spoke through that body to Abraham, but it was foreshadowing something for us that God would one day come through a virgin to his word and tabernacle among us in sinless flesh made from cursed earth in order to become our Redeemer. We know that he did that 2,000 years ago. So in the message, Future Home, Brother Branham said, paragraph 468, Jesus came to redeem it back to the Father. In order to do this, he became part of it. As I've just went through, and from that very dust, the part Jesus was himself, being redeemed through him, all of the attributes of God are redeemed with the earth. So when he redeemed the earth and redeemed the elements that made up his own body, he redeemed your elements. Isn't that wonderful? So God redeemed first that part of the earth. And then at the River Jordan, we witnessed the first work of redemption when God and man were reunited once again. Heaven and earth embraced. The fullness of the Godhead was in a body. And then he who knew no sin became your sin so that you could become the very righteousness of God. Something that's impossible for us, but for God all things are possible. And so we dwelt on this last Wednesday, but I'm going to hit it one more time because it's so important. And we've harped on this a few times, but it is important. Too many failed to come to this revelation. They failed to come to the revelation of the purpose of redemption and what Calvary actually accomplished for us. It's more than the Baptist idea of I'm saved. Yes, you are saved, but why are you saved? And is there something else that is redemption just being saved? No, it isn't. Redemption is if you see something, you go out to the dump and you see something that's buried in the muck and the mire, and you look at it and you think, you know, I'd kind of like to have that. Well, if you want to have it, the first thing you got to do is save it. So you reach into that muck and the mire and you pull it out. It's still mucked and mired and it's still dirty, still ugly, but you saved it, right? Now, are you going to leave it in that condition? Was your whole motivation to save it and then what? Just save it? And then, so that it could say, I'm no good, I'm just a lousy no good, I'll never amount to anything. Well, if you stay in that condition, yeah, that's right. You'll never amount to anything. But he didn't save you just to save you. He had a purpose in saving you. The next thing he does is he sanctifies you. He cleans you up, right? And restores you back to your original position. And then fills you with his very own life. That's redemption. It's a whole lot more than salvation. So too many go around confessing, I'm no good. I'm low down. I'm good for nothing. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And that's all I'll ever amount to. But We do realize that we are servants and that we're living the life of servants. We're not trying to live like royalty on this side. We're not here to be served. We're here to serve. And we will live a life of servitude just as Jesus himself did on this side of glory. But at the same time, we come to our recognition of our sonship and all that that implies. We find out, you know what? I always have been a son of God. I just didn't know it. And what does it mean to be a son of God? So the sinners saved by grace group, they place sonship off into the future. And actually, friends, this sinners saved by grace notion is the anointing, one of the anointings that was sent to Sodom. So it's one of the messages that was sent to Sodom. You're saved and that's it. But now we have been given power to become the sons of God. Or to manifest that we are the sons of God. We just didn't realize how far we had fallen. We just didn't realize what we were. So the sinner saved by grace attitude has us going around defeated. It has us going around not knowing really what the will of God is for our lives. And not walking as the offspring of God. But if you're truly born again of His Spirit, you'll recognize your sonship. Brother Henry was preaching that here a little bit. You know? I didn't know he's a preacher, but we all are. When God does something for you, you're a preacher. You got something to say. You've got a word of testimony. So you recognize your sonship. You recognize His will. You know His will for your life. You have His word. And you know what He wants done with it. Now, of course, we know that this doesn't all take place in one moment in time, but it's a process, right? As you grow in Him, these things become more and more clear to you. As you come to maturity and you're put into, you're adopted and put into service. And then we're told that the bride of Jesus Christ, the true church in this last hour, sons and daughters of God, are the final voice to this last age. So when we hear as it was in the days of Noah, and we hear Noah crying out, well, it isn't Noah crying out now. It's the bride that's going to cry out in this last day. She's got a word, and she's going to prophesy, and she's going to speak it. And the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ makes us heirs, sons and daughters of God now. So that notion of I'm just a sinner saved by grace has you becoming a son of God, becoming a daughter of God, when you pass over to the other side, but you're not good enough on this side. That's nonsense, friends. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and His word has already claimed this earthly tabernacle for His kingdom. This is His property tonight. Amen? And the word will bring this subject to His will. Amen? So how can we call ourselves just sinners saved by grace any longer? What does that say about the blood of Jesus Christ? We have been absolutely divorced from our sins. We've been washed in the blood of our Savior and Redeemer. And there's no evidence that you ever did anything to begin with. And we have been made righteous. It has been granted unto us that we would be arrayed in fine linen, pure and white, which is the righteousness of the saints. It's been granted to us to wear white linen, pure and white. We exchanged our filthy rags for His righteousness. So it's time now for Sarah to recognize that this message is not just about God sent a prophet. And, you know, we fully recognize that God did send a prophet, and we recognize that He's the prophet of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10 to turn our hearts. But the last sign was not concluded in the messenger. It started in the messenger, but it is not concluded in the messenger. You are the continuation of the last sign. Because God is going to vindicate that He has the preeminence as the head, uniting with the body. He's going to vindicate here in this last age that He's in control. And that body is going to overcome in Satan's Eden.
So you are a part of the last sign. God again coming in human flesh. So we've had our last prophetic sign. We know that. We're not looking for another word prophet to come. Don't need another word prophet to come. But his body on the earth is his last sign of the living God on the earth, bringing these bodies subject to the Word. The Word having total preeminence in a body. So it's a living God bringing a living Word in human flesh to this last generation and proving to the world, to the devil, to heaven, to everything, the power of this blood. And the power and what total and full redemption looks like. So Revelation 10 verse 7, we touched on this. We'll go into it a little bit more here for a few minutes. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. How many believe it's finished? There's not part of the mystery still hanging out there, right? There are things that are still unfolding. I can't tell you when the Lord's going to come, but when he comes, I can say this is that. But we're in the cycle of it. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, John, being a type of the bride, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. Now recall that this little open book that's in his hand is the book that was sealed with seven seals that we see in Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5. John weeps. He's asked, you know, who's worthy to open this book? And the answer is, you know, there's not anybody worthy to open it, neither to even look upon it. And John weeps, and there's a search, searching every man's life from the beginning to the end, and nobody's found worthy, including our messenger. Is that okay with you? Amen. He needs the same redemption that we do. But there was one found that was worthy because God himself became one of us. He became the lamb who was slain, right? And he himself, he's the only one that could do it. No one else is worthy, right? So now the book is open and he's coming down to the earth, giving it to his messenger. And I went, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go take that little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and I ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. So it starts a war in your members. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. This isn't John that's going to fulfill this. John is seeing this, but John is a type of the bride. He's seeing our day. This is speaking of a people that will be on the earth in this last age, right? That thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. So we can surely identify the dust that God used for the prophecy of Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. But what about the rest of the prophecy? Somebody has to fulfill that portion as well, right? Somebody has to eat the book. Somebody has to prophesy again, right? So there's one prophecy, but there's two that are prophesying. One is we know who the one was, but what about the other? One prophesies the same thing again. So a message goes forth, right? And then it must be prophesied again. So they eat it, and the word takes on flesh, starts a war on your members. But when you prophesy again, it's broken down in your body. He reveals his word to you. You're not just eating the word
for the sake of eating the word, but he's revealing that word that you've eaten, and you speak it again with revelation, and it's just the same thing as him speaking it. So when God formed the flesh of Jesus and came down to dwell among us, the Messiah title of Son of Man was made manifest once again here on the earth. The fullness of the Godhead in a body is the office of Son of Man. In Christ is the mystery, Brother Bram says, but what he wanted to do, he loved fatherhood, for he was a father, and the only way that he could express it was to become a Son of Man. That's the reason Jesus kept saying the Son of Man. See, they didn't know what he was talking about, many of them. Now you get it, he says. He wanted to express himself. That was one of his great threefold purposes, was to express himself, identify himself with human beings to reveal himself in Christ. Secondly, to have the preeminence in his body of believers, that is his bride, that he might live in a people. That's what is being fulfilled in our day. He must have the preeminence. He had the preeminence in that body. He manifested himself in that one body, but now he wants to do it in a many-member body. And friends, I'll tell you, he's going to have his way. Amen. Nobody's going to stop him. Now, he could do that in Adam and Eve, but sin separated them. So now there had to be some way to get back again. Oh my, he says, this is rich to me, just to even think of it. See what God's purpose was. Now, why didn't he just keep Adam and Eve like that? Well, then he would never be able to express himself in his fullness, his full attribute, because he could have been a father there, that's true, but he's also a savior. And you say, how do you know he was? He is, because I've had that experience. How do you know he gave you a white stone with a new name? Because he had that experience. He's a savior, and he had to express it. How could he be a son only through Christ? How could he be a healer only through Christ? All things are wound up in that one person, Jesus Christ. He says, when I think of it, I just see denominations pass off the scene, everything else just going. See, when God's great purpose, revealing himself and having first to reveal himself in Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and then to bring the fullness of the Godhead bodily into a people. It doesn't get any plainer than that. It's not mysterious. It's not hidden. To bring the fullness of the... This is the mystery of God should be finished. This is the finishing of the mystery. This is his plan. This is what he's wanted to do. This is what he is doing. Into a people that he could have the preeminences, the oversight, the leading. So God loved fatherhood, but could only express himself in the way that he wanted to express himself in the fullness by becoming a man. So Jesus was the firstborn, and many sons would come after him. He was the attribute of the fullness, and you are an attribute of the very same one. So the difference between you and Jesus Christ is that you're a portion and he's all of it. Amen. Is that okay with you? Amen. It's fine with me. Just to be a part of it is fine with me. Because what's in that part is what's in the whole. Hallelujah. So notice now, what was Ezekiel's first assignment? We'll just read it here real quick. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll. So it wasn't a book at that time, it was a scroll, right? Take this scroll and eat it. And then go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I may give thee. Then I did eat it. Notice this. And it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And then he spoke it with revelation, but he was speaking to the house of Israel, right? This time, it's a many-membered body, but it's speaking to all nations, kindred, tongue, and people, right? The Gentile, the elect of the Gentiles here in this last age. So God told Ezekiel, take this scroll, swallow it, eat it up. So our first assignment, friends, when we recognize that we are the dust that God is going to use, is to take the book, the message, eat it, the word, and let it become flesh and prophesy. So Ezekiel is a type or a shadow of a people that are receptive to the word. Jesus was Son of Man when God took on flesh. And he tells us before departing that the Son of Man will be manifested or revealed again when the world gets into a sodomite condition once again. Now, when Elohim came to Abraham, there were two parts of his coming, right? There was the word coming when he appeared to Abraham and Sarah to bring the faith that they needed for a body change and to bring forth the promised son, Isaac. But after the word coming, then there was a bride coming. Christ in bride form is someone for him to unite to. So there was a changing of dimensions that came with that. God coming in the body of his bride is Son of Man in this last hour. First he came through a prophet, and then he comes through the rest of that bride body. Are you still with me? Sarah, God had to change Sarah. God had to give Sarah the faith, and it was through Sarah that the promised word came. Come on, friends. It wasn't just Abraham. It was Abraham and Sarah. Sarah had to agree and say, that ain't nothing but the truth. Sarah's job was to say, let it be done here on the earth as it is in heaven. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So when the Logos takes on flesh, that is Son of Man. So this is not the second coming of the Lord that all Christianity is looking for. He's still our high priest tonight. And right now he can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And we cannot come except by him. And we need him to intercede. But because of him, we can approach the throne of mercy, whereby we can find grace in our time of need. How many knows that's true? And because of that, we come boldly. We don't have to sneak up. We don't have to come like a servant that's afraid to get slapped. You come as a son or daughter, knowing that it's his will to do these things. So in Revelation chapter 10, we find a coming or an appearing of Christ, but it's not this fulfillment of the second coming where we meet him in the air. So the first part of Revelation chapter 10, verse 1 through 3 reads like this. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. Notice Revelation 9 is speaking of a mighty angel that was cast out of heaven. And it's speaking about Lucifer and what he would do and how he's given the keys to the bottomless pit and so on and so forth. And how demons would be released to drive Israel back into the homeland. But then chapter 10 starts with, I saw another mighty angel, right? It's Christ. Lucifer first, then Christ. I saw another mighty angel. This one's not kicked out, but is coming down, descending from heaven, clothed with a cloud. Cloud, seven colors, showing a covenant. He's the angel of his own covenant. A rainbow was upon his head. His face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, his left foot upon the earth. And he cried, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. We know that thunder is the voice of God. And where his feet touch are pillars, plural, of fire. The feet are holding down the powers that come out of the sea and out of the land, the beast, Rome, the powers that are coming against the church in this last age. So you're no longer under the dominion of the beast that rose out of the land and rose out of the sea. The beast that has power over man, the beast that has brought man under bondage, You have been given dominion over that and all of its false teaching. You're not a prisoner of it. You've been set free. And you are in those feet that are standing on those things, bringing them under subjection. So the Holy Ghost has placed you into a position of dominion. Are you with me? You have a lick of fire, so you make up the feet. There were many licks of fire. Put us all together, that's the feet. He's the head. So the messages come to you to give you power over Rome, to give you power over the Laodicean anointing in this last age, to give you power over everything that's trying to keep you from a body change, everything that's trying to keep the dead saints in the grave, everything that's trying to hold back redemption. He's given you power to overcome all of that. That's why this message is so important to us. So the prince of this world has come with all of his powers. But I can say tonight, it has no part in me. Can anybody else say that by revelation, by faith? It has no part in me. I bow to none of it. I'll worship none of it. I'll surrender to none of it. In fact, those spirits have to obey me. Right? Resist and they'll flee. Those spirits have to obey. So we show that we have this power in how we dress. We show it in such simple manners, but don't underestimate the power. We show it in our dress. We show it in our attitude. We show it in the way we conduct ourselves. We show it in our response to the anointing of our day. We show it by how we treat one another. We show it by just coming to church. This angel of the covenant puts his feet on the land and the sea and then cries with a loud voice. He lifts up his hand to heaven and he swears by him that liveth that there shall be time no more. Showing that this is Christ in time. Right? This is Christ in a body. This is your Redeemer. He lifts his hand up to heaven, swears by him that liveth there shall be no more time, no more holding back of this mystery. It is held for a time, but in the days of the voice, he says, shall I hide it? This is what he said to Abraham, and this is our cue tonight, friends. Shall I hide from Abraham any longer what I'm going to do? He revealed it to Abraham. Abraham stood in the gap. What's going to cause us to stand in the gap? Knowing what's coming. Knowing what God's plan is. Knowing who you are. Knowing the power is in your lips. Knowing that you have the power to set people free. Knowing that you have life to give. So the last mystery is given to the Abrahamic group, not to the nominal believer or to the Sodomites. So it's time for us to start speaking who we are. Now God who's faithful, God who's patient, God who's long-suffering. Brother Henry's been with us for 30 years. Right? But Brother Henry caught the mystery. He caught the revelation. Right? And until you catch that revelation, you can't behave like a son or daughter of God because you don't know what belongs to you. It's time for the church to start speaking. You're not the offspring of Cain. You're not a loser. There's not a chance that he's going to lose you. We're not in this to whittle it down. There are churches that that's the whole purpose is to, you know, whittle it down and, well, there goes another one. There goes, well, let's present this one and let's present that one. Right? This is about bringing in. This is about bringing us, it's restoration. It's bringing us back into our position as sons and daughters of God, showing us who and what we are so that we can be who and what we are. We're not going to go over there and say, oh, aha, I get it. Now I know who I am. You're going to know who you are on this side.
And you're going to act like who you are on this side. And you're going to be vindicated on this side. Revelation means more to you than anything. You never know when it's going to come. All you know is that it will only come from Him. So the only thing that, the only clue that you have is, well, how does it come? Faith comes by. Okay, I got you to say that. I'm going to remind you of that. Faith comes by. I won't have to remind you because you're here. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. So every opportunity that we get is an opportunity for Him to reveal His Word to us so that we can come to the fullness of maturity in Christ and manifest who we are. So rather than running off and doing your little hobbies and advertising it on Facebook, there's nothing wrong with doing your hobbies and advertising it unless you're not in church. Unless you're saying, well, you know, I had this feeling or this little tingle or that little nudge or I didn't feel good or I was feeling a little down. Well, then don't do that other stuff. Right. Don't show me when you're happy. I don't want to see that. Right. This is where I'm happy. Amen. And there's no devil that's going to keep me from it. Amen. And if I have to fight through devils to get here, I'll do it. Amen. And yes, I do have to fight through devils. Come on. The devil will try all kinds of things. Cause somebody to sideswipe you on the way. Cause you to not get sleep the night before. Come on, friends, we're on to them. Cause you to get in an argument with somebody over something stupid. Come on, friends. It's time to start speaking who we are. Because you're not a loser. You need to know what your position is. And you need to know that it is the Word that tells you who you are. So as we spend all day Sunday looking at, who are we listening to? The Word or these spirits that are whispering to us? We went into depression on Sunday night. All of us are subject to that. All of us have tasted of it. All of us will come in contact with it. But we don't have to give way to a demon. We recognize who they are and realize, you know what? That feeling that's being presented to me, that thought that's being presented to me, it didn't come from the Word of God. What does the Word of God say instead? And what you'll read from the Word of God will cause you to shout. It'll cause you to praise Him. It'll cause you to put on your garment of praise and have a fit. It'll cause you to rise above that. But if you just accept it and think you got to cohabitate with those things, you'll never, ever, ever come to your position. You got to fight. We can do all things to try and help you, but I have to fight. You have to fight. But if you'll fight, you'll win. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You are called tonight to be a Mark 16 believer. And take authority over every obstacle in your life. Amen. So where's the complaining in that? When you're taking authority, there's no complaining. The complaining is coming from the other side. It's the devils that are doing the complaining. Hallelujah. You now possess the book. This is different, friends. This is not Pentecost. You've got the book. They didn't have the book. They had the restoration of the gifts. You got the person. You got the Word. You're equipped. You're armed. You're dangerous. That word's still sharp. It'll still cut. It'll discern. If you've got an opening in your life where you're prone to anxiety, God probably won't take that away. What you got to learn is how to overcome that thing. What you got to learn is how to cover that thing up. What you got to learn is that a demon will try to take advantage of that. And it's up to you to say, no, devil. It's up to you to say, okay, when that feeling comes, I'm going to go and see what God is trying to tell me right about now. Amen. Otherwise, where's the overcoming? You now possess the book. We claim to be believers. If we're believers, that means you're eating the book. If you're not coming to church, you're not eating nothing. You're eating the world. That's what you're doing.
You say, well, I'm not out in the world. Well, you're eating something. You got to eat something to live. You now possess that book. So take it. Eat it. Yield your flesh to it. And speak. Yield your members to it. For instance, dealing with just the idea of depression, that's just a start. We got to discern all these spirits and recognize we're under an attack. We're under an attack by more demons than any other age. And we got to recognize, you know what? That thought is not coming from the Word. That thought is coming from my flesh, and Satan has access to my flesh. That thought's coming from the pits of hell. That thought is causing me to be confused. God's not the author of confusion. So that can't be coming from God. So what does God have to say? Eat the book and find out. You'll start preaching to yourself. When it strikes you that you are the one that the mysteries are being revealed to, well, then you realize that you are the one that the covenant has been made with. You are the seed of Abraham according to the promise. Think of yourself as Abraham. God has called you to walk with him. To you has it been revealed. And he's come to visit the church according to the time of the promise. And you are the recipient of the promise, the word coming of Christ to the earth. And you don't know what service that you'll come and he'll reveal something to you. Brother Henry has to get rides to the church. Some of you, you got five vehicles and can't make it to church. And got all kinds of excuses. Oh, I didn't feel like it. I don't care about your feelings. What's your feelings have to do with anything? So Brother Henry has to buy a ride or rely on somebody. Well, they didn't come through on Sunday. So he streamed. And he's like, oh man, I could hear what's going on in that service. Man, I wish I could have been there. And what did that do? It built a anticipation in him. He thought, man, I sure missed out here on Sunday morning. I couldn't get a ride. My wife couldn't take me. Somebody else fell through. Mr. Uber got drunk the night before or something. I couldn't get a ride. But I'm going to come Sunday night. And I'm expecting. I'm going to get my portion. Others had a burr under their saddle and let that bother them. Well, this one is not doing what I like and that one's not doing what I like. Well, who died and made you God? Who says it's all about you? Come on. You're a son of God, a daughter of God, a child of God. Act like it. When are we going to act like it? Quit playing church. Realize, you know what, I got to get serious about this. Not just once in a while, boo-hoo a little bit. I got to get serious now. It ought to stir you up when you see it happening in other members of the body. It ought to stir you up. It ought to cause you to say, you know what, I should have got that too. I'm just going to make sure I'm ready. Lord, I don't know when you're going to do it. Just like you don't know when he's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost, but you just make sure you're ready. You say, God, you could do it at any time. I'm just going to make sure I'm not drinking a beer. Or I'm not reacting to a sticker under the saddle. Come on. And the angel of the Lord just passes you by. Come on, friends. Blessed be his name. He's come to visit the church according to the time of promise. Listen. According to the time of promise. According to the time. Brother Branham said, he dramatized it for us. He said, the day that he was coming, Sarah was a little fussy. Sarah was looking down at Sodom and saying, man, I wish I had one of them dresses. And here I am sweating. And we're up here in this dry land. And Abraham, I don't know if his head's cooked or not. He's still saying it's coming, but we're living in this dry place and it's whittled down. People have left us. The make-believer is left. The unbeliever never was with us, but now the make-believer isn't even around. Little fussy. But God had to get a hold of her because her day of visitation was coming. So he's come to visit the church
according to the time of promise, and you are the recipient of that promise. Me? You better say that. The word coming of Christ to the earth in a body, he needs your body. He needs somebody that will just simply surrender. Somebody that will just say, God, I don't care. Be it unto me. I surrender. I trust you. I'm not worried. I'm not fearful. I'm not living this life to fulfill my dreams, my wishes. I'm not going to express all my fussiness. Instead, Lord, what can I do? What can I do to be available and be ready for your visitation so that you can use me? What an honor. So you're living in the harvest time. This is not the planting time. It's the end time when the grain is going to be taken up into the grain elevator after being gathered unto him. And Paul tells us that he's gathering together all things in Christ Jesus, who is the head of the body. So we're not sodomites tonight, friends. We're not make-believers tonight. But the called, according to his purpose, the mystery of God that has been hidden from all the ages and is revealed in flesh this day. And you are his great victory. He just can't wait to show you off. He just can't wait to demonstrate to the world what he's done, what he's paid for, and that it's worth it. You are the vindication of full redemption and restoration, the final voice to this age. So somebody has to be in that kind of condition. Somebody. Help us, Lord. It's urgent, friends. Verse 7, once again, Revelation 10, 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel standing upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. It shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand. I ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. So this word must be spoken and lived out in a people. Now Enoch spoke of a day when the mystery would be capped off. The pyramid in Egypt that's on the border in the midst thereof is a revelation. It's prophecy. Enoch spoke of a day when the mystery would be capped off. The headstone would come to unite with the rest of the body. And we know that the mysteries had to come to a prophet because it's the only way that God brings forth his word. It always is through the office of a prophet first, right? So the man of dust that God used was a man of dust, but he was constructed in a special way. And God used that dust to bring to us a message in this day. And God gave us the sign that the same resurrected Christ was here, not in a group, but in one man only initially. God had to do it that way. But he's showing us this is just the first of the rest of the crop. When the rest of the crop comes to maturity, it'll be like this first fruit. The message, the token, he said, how it would symbolize the three stages that we come through. It would symbolize the three mercies of God through Luther, Martin, and Pentecost. Martin, Luther, and also through Wesley and Pentecost. The three stages of the journey. The three stages of Israel's journey. The three messengers to Sodom. All these different things it would symbolize. It would symbolize the ministry of today. It would symbolize the message of Billy Graham, of grace to the world, of Oral Roberts as power to the world, and of the presence of Jesus Christ as the last sign to the world. For Sodom got their sign, the church spiritual, the one that was called out got their last sign before the Gentile world was burned. Jesus said, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, the same thing. So God poured his spirit
upon all flesh. Can I have just a couple more minutes? God poured his spirit out upon all flesh. He poured it out upon Brother Billy Graham. He poured it out on Brother Oral Roberts. But also among the Abraham group where we see God himself. When Elijah was on Mount Carmel, there was an earthquake. There was a rushing wind. And we've seen the church world shaken already. And we've seen the church world stirred. There were great campaigns. Campaigns throughout the land where people came in droves. Billy Graham preached to the lost and they came. And there was a mighty earthquake. But you see, God wasn't the earthquake or the rushing wind. Those were the effects of him passing by. Think about that for a moment. You look out there and you say, oh, wow, that's wonderful. And look at what God's doing. That's the effects of him coming by. That's not his stop. But they're blessed in just him coming. He's coming to the elect. But look at how they get blessed. Elijah didn't come out when he heard the earth rumble. Elijah didn't come out when the mighty wind was rushing by and the wind blew. But he came out when he heard a voice. Because God was in the voice. It was his word coming down. Remember Elijah, he didn't come out when there was an earthquake. He didn't come out when the wind was blowing, but when he heard a voice. Again, in true Easter seal, he says, you see, if he's still the high priest that can be touched by the feeling of your infirmity, I never seen you in my life. You're a stranger to me. I know nothing about you. God does know. And if he can reveal to me by his Holy Spirit, the resurrected Christ who came here and gave me a temporary resurrection by my spirit, that my spirit goes away now. Oh, we had no idea what was taking place. He's just giving us a little taste of it here. My spirit went away and his came in. It wasn't them cohabitating. When he spoke, the other one was out of the picture. Whew. Then to let you know that whether he's alive or not. Now, I don't know you. That's me. And my spirit, we don't know you, but he knows you. But he wants to borrow my body to prove that he's the resurrected Christ. I'm so happy to loan it to him, give it to him, anything he can get out of it. What say the church tonight? Anything he can get out of it. Lord, if it's to encourage somebody on the street corner, anything that he can get glory out of it. God discerned Sarah's heart. Jesus comes and does the very same thing. He said to Peter, your name is Simon Bar-Jonas. And to this one, and to this one, and to this one. Jesus could only appear in that one body of flesh at that time that he redeemed from the earth. But today he has lots of redeemed subjects. So he took one vessel and showed us the resurrected Christ coming in the form of the Word. And God has prophesied of sons and daughters that he will have in the last days. This is the last point that I want to make here tonight. He starts in 1906 by pouring out his spirit on flesh. He pours out grace on some. He pours out power on others to call a church out of Sodom. And he pours out also on an Abraham group his very presence among them once again. And it is the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, which we'll read here. Joel 2:28. And it came to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. So God is changing his mask once again. He first wears the mask of a prophet, and then he wears the mask of a bride. And he pours out himself, changing his mask. He changes his form as he did on the way to Emmaus. He pours out his spirit on the elect people in the church systems and also on his bride. The rain falls on the wheat and the tares and they both rejoice. It's the same rain. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Listen, sisters, you have a prophecy. You say, well, I'm not a prophetess and I'm not a preacher. You are written epistles that will manifest the word of God from human flesh. Your life will prophesy how God lives in wives, how God lives in teenagers in the days of Sodom. Your adoption will be in whatever vocation that you're called, and it will be Jesus Christ using your flesh. As a librarian, as a teacher, a nurse, whatever. Deity is walking around on the earth in adopted sons and daughters of God, demonstrating to the world that Jesus is alive, showing himself once again. God wants to borrow your body tonight. I say, oh God, come and take my body and demonstrate yourself to the world. I don't know how much time. I might be at the beginning of my life, the middle of my life, towards the end of my life. I don't know. I don't know how much time I have on the earth, but I do know one thing. The only thing it's worth living for is him. You won't be sorry, friends. Verse 29. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. God taking on the mask of redeemed flesh. Verse 30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. As the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. How many believes in deliverance tonight? How many believes in omnipotence in human flesh once again? This is for the bride. And there's something for the foolish virgin. And there's something for the total lost. They'll all receive a visitation. Again, in Jehovah Jireh, just about finished. You've had speaking in tongues, dancing in the spirit. You've had all these sensations. And you've seen miracles of healing and wheelchairs and so forth. We've seen all of that. But here's the last sign done come up now. Abraham's seen all kinds of things that God did for him along the way, sure. But here comes the last sign just before the promised son come. And now the royal seed is looking for a promised son. Hallelujah. Are we looking for a promised son, the son of God to return? Hallelujah, he says. Oh, that makes me feel like shouting. Look, the royal seed is looking for a promised son. As Abraham did down through the years, watching, holding on to the word, so has the royal seed. And the seed watching for his coming son, the coming of the Lord. Through one watch, two watch, three watch, through the seven church ages, on to the seventh watch. And here we are still looking for the royal seed. And what do we see just before the coming of the Lord? What takes place? God comes down in our midst, showing the royal seed like he did Abraham's seed. And Abraham's seed. And here it is with the royal seed, God dwelling among us. Listen to this now. God dwelling among us in the form of the Holy Spirit, doing the same things he did back there, performing and showing that it's the same. How many believes that? That wasn't just for 1965, 64, 55, 54. It wasn't. That's the start of it. We didn't know what to look for, right? We had to be introduced to the true Jesus of the Bible. We had to see the true word. The word had to be restored back so that we knew what to expect, what to look for. But friends, we ought to have the expectation. We know what to look for. We're looking for this manifestation in a body, not in one person, in a body. Again, he says, God identifying himself by his characteristics. He says, notice, here was Abraham, and he had the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord came to him. He was the prophet. And now here comes the word, and he called him Abraham, not Abram, A few days before that, his name was Abram. Now it's Abraham. His wife Sarai. Now it's Sarah. Not Abraham, not Abram, but Abraham. And this man identified himself when he said, Abraham. Oh my. Abraham said, Elohim. So Brother Henry called him by a new name. And Abraham recognized it. Abraham knew it. Nobody else did, but he did. Nobody could take it from him. There is the word and the prophet together, both characters identified. Elohim, he said, where's your wife Sarah? She said, she's in the tent behind you. And then the miracle was done. Elohim, Abraham called him the all-sufficient, almighty, omnipotent God. Jesus said when he was on the earth, he did the same thing that Elohim did. That identified his characteristic as being God. And he said before, in the last days, just at the coming of the Son of Man, when he is being revealed, this setting will take place again, like it was at Sodom. Elohim among his people, the Almighty God, that's what Scripture says, Elohim among the people. Now, friends, let me ask you a question here real quick. I know some of you think I'm picking on you, but I'm not. I'm picking on the spirits that you keep babying. And those spirits in you is what's reacting. If tonight we all went into a time machine and we arrived on the day that Elohim came and visited with Abraham, what would your thoughts be that day? What would your actions be that day? What would your expectation be that day? Would you miss church? No, you'd be fighting over who got the seat. You would. I mean, that's just all we have to do is have special meetings once a year and people put things on the seat. And then they come and they stare at, well, why'd you take my seat? Well, sorry, I didn't see your name on it. Well, I had my purse there. I had my Bible there. Oh. So that's why you're not reading it. Obviously, I was saving that spot. You know how you save that spot? Come early. You got an expectation, right? Well, what if I were to tell you that the same thing's happening right now? Right now. We don't know when the day will come when Sarah's being fussy. I'm speaking about you. Some of us have already had our visitation. And we're waiting for others. And we're confident that others will have theirs. And we're going to preach it and preach it and preach it. Right? But what if it was tonight? And you're all bent out of shape because spirits got you all spun up. Right? But tonight could be your night. What could be more important? What should your attitude be? What should you care about? Well, they're saying this about me at the other church, and they're saying, who cares? They're not your creator. They don't get to define you. They're not your God. Let me just, while we're at it, they're not your Savior. So since they're not your Savior, they can't be your destroyer either. Since they didn't save you, they can't throw you out. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. He's your deliverer. He's your husband. Hallelujah. Well, preach it anyhow. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just get so tired of that stuff. For 40 years, he's been baptizing us with the Holy Ghost, Elohim. So this is 1964. He's coming down to the wire. For 40 years, he's been baptizing us. 64. Come on, quick mathematicians. Is that another 60 years? It's not a mystery. Okay, some of you, yeah. 64 to 24, 60 years. Still got my shoes on. Didn't have to count on my 11 toes. Or 12 or... Sorry, I shouldn't say that. I made a joke about that one time. God help me. Somebody said something, and at that time I was just kind of going through a little comedy routine, you know. They said something that was kind of dumb, and I said, well, how many toes you got, you know? You must have 6 toes in your foot. And they're like, how did you know? Like, oh. God help me.
For 40 years, he's been baptizing us with the Holy Ghost, Elohim, God, and the church. Look, Abraham's seen one sign, another calling, a sign, a calling, a calling, a sign, waiting for that promised son. But the last sign that he saw, the last appearing, the last visit of God before the promised son arrived on the scene was Elohim in human flesh. Then the promised son come. And Abraham's seed is waiting for the promised son, Jesus Christ. And they've seen signs, the pouring out of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, divine healing, and so forth. But when the Son of Man is being revealed, Elohim will return back to the royal seed of Abraham and show that same thing that he showed in that day. Amen. Elohim. It was. Why? It will be the characteristic of God. God will display his very nature in human flesh. Come on, even the sermons are tips. The mighty God unveiled before us.
Right.
Who is this? Melchizedek.
Yeah.
Now, if Christ was God, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, yet you shall see me. For I'll be with you, even in you, to the consummation, the end. The works that I do, shall you do also. So where are those works? Well, it's in Brother So-and-so. It's a big campaign, you know. We've got a preaching circuit, you know, and there's certain ones that are hand-picked and anointed, and they're the only ones that can preach, and they're going to hang out with one another and drink their own bathwater. There's a danger there, friends. Every one of us has to be led of the Spirit of God, right? And there's a danger. I don't care how close we are with one another. We can't be any closer with one another than we are with Him. Because we don't want to start listening to one another instead of Him. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead the entire body. So what if He wants to do one thing here and something else over there? It's up to Him. He doesn't have to tell me. He doesn't need my approval, right? I don't have to know what he's doing somewhere else. I have to be ready for what he's doing here. That's how he will express himself in a many-membered body, because he's the head. So we don't have a road. We don't have a circuit head riding around, right? What is my message to you? You don't got to go to some special meeting. Is there anything wrong with that? No, but you don't go expecting to hear from the head. Then you'll become a special meeting junkie and try to live off of that. You live off the local church. That's how God's going to bring you to maturity. That's how God's going to make sure you get what you need. Tell me he believes that. He's either in control or he isn't. I believe he is. Amen. It's hopeless to believe that he isn't. If he's in control, he's completely in control. That means I got to trust him. I got to look to him. I got to surrender to him. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's stand. Thank you for allowing me the extra half hour. You say, extra half hour? Yeah. I preached an hour and 20 minutes. And had a 40 minutes of something else. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Why would people sit through four-hour services in 1963, 64, 65? Why would they do that? Because they expected that they'd hear something. Didn't they? Why are you here tonight? Because you expect to hear something. And Unless you say something to me, I may never know what you heard. Right? But I don't need to. It's not that I don't want to, but it's God speaking to you. Right? God giving you what you need. And I trust Him to do that. If I didn't trust Him to do it, I would have quit a long time ago. I'm trusting Him. And He's proving Himself in your lives. He's not proven it in my life. He's proven it in your lives.
that he's speaking to you, right? The church says,
amen.
Let's bow our heads. Father, as we stand before you once again tonight, Lord, Father, forgive our feeble ways. And we are still flesh and blood, Lord. We still have human weaknesses from the pulpit to the back door. We freely admit that, Lord, but we're trusting in you. We're asking, Lord, for you to make sure that your word finds its resting place, that it anchors where it's supposed to anchor, Lord. Father, that we come with the right attitude, that we come with the right expectation. There's no telling what could happen. It's all based on our hunger, our thirst. It's all based on our expectation. It's all based on our belief. It's based on where we are in our maturity. Same message preached to a church that's at one level will come out, the very same message being delivered will come out completely different to another body of believers, because you're going to bring it out as they have need of it. Father, I want to be numbered right amongst each and every other one. I'm not relying on, by any stretch of the imagination, I'm not relying on my position. I'm not relying on the ministering gift that you placed in my life. Those things are without repentance. I know, Lord, that you placed it in my life, and I know that it's your desire to use it for the benefit of your people. But I have to make my own calling and election sure. I've got to have my own personal walk with you. I've got to have the same expectation. I've got to feed on your word. I've got to meditate and spend time in prayer just like everybody else. And Lord, you know that we do that. You know that that's our desire. You know, Lord, that's what we desire more than anything. I pray, oh God, that just turn the temperature up amongst us such that the expectation is always high. Lord, we know that there can't be a whole lot of time left, but yet we know that there's enough time for whatever needs to be done to get done, for us to come to maturity, and that's our desire. We want to be used however you desire to use us. Each and every one of us wants to be that light. Each and every one of us wants to be surrendered to you and yielded to you so that your word can become flesh and others can come to know the true Jesus of the Bible as you're lived out amongst us. And Lord, as people hear testimonies, as they see the changes that take place in our lives. Lord, here just recently, you're bringing changes in different ones' lives. And first thing that happens is family members recognize that something's different. Something's changed. And Lord, that has more power, as we've seen. That has more power than if you were to send your anointed ministry to go door to door. There's more power in the family seeing that word made manifest. And who better to recognize a change than a family member? But they see that change and something in them says, I see that. That's something that's real. I want that. I don't want an imaginary God. I don't want to talk about him and hear other people describe him. I want to see him. I want to see him manifested in our, I want him to live in my life. I want him to live in my family. I want him to live in my church. Lord, I'm so thankful that we're living in an hour where that's all possible. It's not only possible, but that's your desire and your will. Your desire will be fulfilled. Father, I just pray that we have the right expectation. I pray that we're looking, Lord, constantly looking. That we're, each one of us, Lord, it's not just for the ministry to listen to the messages. If the people are also listening to the messages, then when the spiritual food in due season is ministered and when they hear the statements, they'll know they've heard it. And then your spirit will come and quicken it to them. And they'll know that it's true and they'll know that it's real. So it isn't just for some of us to study and some of us to listen. It's for all of us to do it. it's for some of us to minister it, spiritual food in due season, but we all ought to be under expectation. We all ought to desire revelation more than anything. I pray that your blessing, your anointing would be upon each and every one, that you deal with each and every heart, Lord, from the pulpit to the back door. And I pray, Lord, that we would all come with the right expectation. For, Lord, we are witnesses. So many of us here tonight are witnesses that not only do you meet our expectations, but you always exceed them. You delight us, Lord. Just pray that your blessings would be with each and every one, Lord. And I know the definition of a blessing is anything that will bring them closer to you, that will bring me closer to you. So what, however it might be, may your will be done, Lord, amongst us. And may Tucson see Jesus in a body according to your word. That's our desire. We surrender to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we surrender to you. We say, not my will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bless your people. Bless your word as it goes forth. May you receive honor and glory. May your desire be fulfilled in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. To you, my King, won't you be my everything? I'm coming to you again. Lord, here I am. I surrender. Amen. I'm coming.